Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
First of all, I just want to thank all of y'all very much for having me out here today. Super happy to bring God's Word. I especially want to give thanks to Pastor Sean for this opportunity. It really means a lot that he trusts me enough to come up here. So just a little bit about me before we begin. I am from Lubbock, Texas. Probably none of you have ever heard of that, but if you look at a map, it's kind of at the top towards Oklahoma. It's pretty much only known for how dry and flat and full of dirt it is. I can literally look out for miles and just see flatland, just plain. There's actually a town about 45 minutes away. It's where I went to college. It's called Plainview, so it's pretty basic. I recently just graduated from Wayland Baptist University. I got my bachelor's degree in religion, and next I plan on going to Southwestern Seminary to get my master's of divinity. From there, I plan to go into youth ministry for long term, and then eventually head pastor. But probably the most exciting thing about me, and y'all already heard this, is that this last Wednesday I got engaged to my lovely fiance, Amanda, so we're super excited about that. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll be in verses 1 through 10 today. And while you do that, I was thinking. I was thinking about the world that we live in today. And to be honest, it is kind of sad. We live in a world where depression is at an all-time high, suicide rates are through the roof, and overall, people are just less happy. We live in a world where all we see on the news is crime and death and just sadness. 13 gang members and 5 others arrested during drug bust. Mexican government sorry after handing over innocent kids to drug gang. You think you see something good like, man wins lottery, and here's the tax damage. It seems like everything is just pushed towards sadness as if we're just trying to bring it out of each other. As society, we just kind of live in the sadness of life, as if that's all there is to it. It seems to be the focus of every conversation and pushed to the front line of our thoughts. All too often, that's all we think about. For me, I remember one of my high school football games. I loved football because I was good at it. We were playing our crosstown rivals, Lubbock Coronado, and their school and my school, we didn't really like each other. We were always having fights in the middle of the games and always talking trash. I played wide receiver, and so it was always a really big deal for me whenever I got a catch. And in this game, I played exceptionally well because I really wanted to try my heart out. And so I had a couple great catches. But for some reason, the thing that I remember the most about the game is the one that I dropped. At first, I started coming up with excuses like, the lights were in my eyes, the defender tripped me, the wind got it. But in reality, I just dropped the ball. I went home that night, and for some reason, that was the only thing on my mind. It wasn't that we got the win. It wasn't that I had some great catches. The thing that was on my mind was that I dropped the ball, and I was sad. I was discouraged. I didn't act like myself. I just kind of wanted to be alone. I didn't go out and celebrate with the team. I didn't want to do anything. I was upset, and I let it control me. Well, today, as we dive into the Word, we're going to see from the Thessalonians how even in times of discouragement in life, we are to remain in the faith. Now, if you will, stand with me for the reading of the Word. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this word and for this opportunity to bring it forth, Lord. I pray that our ears, our eyes, and our hearts may be open to receive this with full conviction and love for you, God. May you be glorified by every word that is spoken today. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. So Paul, who's the author of this letter, is on a second missionary journey. He visits Thessalonica and he plants a church there. But soon he is driven out to a neighboring town, and then from that neighboring town he's driven out to Athens. The reason that Paul is driven out, though, is because Thessalonica is under Roman rule. And the Roman rule at that time wasn't that bad. So the city had a lot of freedoms. They could kind of do what they want. They just had to pay taxes. They could worship who they want. But there was the assumption that what Paul was teaching and the believers believe could be harmful and could danger their freedom. Because Paul was proclaiming that Jesus Christ is king. And you can imagine how the Romans would feel about that. If they hear that someone is claiming a new king, that usually marks the beginning of a revolt. So Paul is driven out of Thessalonica because the Jewish people don't mind their lives under the Roman rule. They want things to be as easy to be as they are. They like it easy. And so he retreats to Athens and sends Timothy to check in with the church. And Timothy gets there, and what does he see? He expects to see a church that is probably in turmoil and isn't doing very well because the person who just planted it was driven out. And now they're facing the same persecution. But whenever Timothy actually gets there, he sees good. The church is facing opposition and being put down and encouraged by everyone. But they stay in the word. They stay with their faith. They're being told to get out of town. They're being spit on. They're being imprisoned. They're being treated terribly. But that does not slow them down. So Paul encourages them in this letter to keep doing what they're doing, even though life is hard. But what does that look like for us? We don't undergo the same persecution. We don't get spit on for our faith. We don't get thrown in jail because we believe in Jesus. We may not undergo all that, but life can still really be hard for us. It's just hard for people. Now, I know that for most of us, if not all of us in this room, at some point in your life, you've gone through a hard time. The hardest time for me was when my grandma passed away. She was everything to me. She was the biggest influence on my life. She helped raise me into who I am today. I lived with her for a long time. She was a devoted Christian, a fantastic mother, and a fantastic wife. I can still reflect on the memories as if it was a movie playing in my head. But not too long ago, she was diagnosed with lung cancer, and it spread throughout her body. And I remember the last time that I saw her before she had passed. When I walked out of the hospital, I was completely ripped to shreds. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't want to do anything. I completely shut down. A lot of you know what that's like, to pretty much give up. But when life gets hard, we can't just give up. When life got hard, the Thessalonians didn't give up. Instead, they showed us, as Christians, how to respond. Look at verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the first thing that we see that the Thessalonians did in times of discouragement? Is they had good works that were produced by faith. And the good works are an overflow of our faith. It's an overflow from the love and gratitude that we have for Christ and what he did. that even in despair, the love for Christ was shown through the darkness. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. Our works are a result of our faith, and good works follow salvation. They're not required for it, but our salvation leads to them being done. Good works are the reaction of a Christian to the glorious work of Christ. Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Works of faith are a supernatural, natural reaction to the powerful work of Jesus Christ and what he has done. So because of who Jesus is and because of what he did for us, we can go and do these things. Secondly, we see in verse 3 and 4 that we should have a labor prompted by love. Christian deeds stem from love. The love that we have for one another and the love that we have for Christ. Because of the love we have for Christ, we obey his commandments and that we love one another. And because of the love that we have for our neighbors, we treat them well and we do good works for them. Do we not constantly do things for the ones that we love? Take Valentine's Day, for example. It's the day of love. On Valentine's Day, it's one of the most profitable holidays. You go and you get teddy bears, flowers, movie tickets, you get some chocolates, maybe a nice dinner at a fancy restaurant. We have this day of love where we just give gifts to the one we love. We take time out of our day to really make them feel special, you know? Well, the kind of effort that we put in on Valentine's Day, shouldn't that be how it is for Christians always? Taking time to show people around you that you love them, to put effort into someone's life, laboring for them. Love is not something that's only there when it's convenient. It's not easy, but it is what we are called to do, to show everyone the love that Christ has for us, to go out of our way for people and represent Christ. Third, we should have a steadfastness of hope in Jesus. It's not a wish that things will end up okay in life. It's not a hoping for the best. Our hope and our faith in Christ is confident in ensuring belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is our Savior. That he died on the cross and was risen from the grave 3 days later for the forgiveness of our sins so that we may spend an eternity in him. And that one day he is coming back to bring believers to himself. Our steadfastness of hope in Jesus is our unending trust in the gospel. So what I just said, the gospel message, it's unending. We always trust it no matter what. Our hope in him never ends. It is constant. Day in, day out, night, day, 24/7. It doesn't stop. So what do we do when we feel like giving up? We need to have works of faith, labor out of love, and steadfastness of hope in Christ. But how can we do these things if we just talked about whenever something bad happens or life is hard, we just kind of want to give up? Well, I can tell you that these things are possible to do at all times because of verses 4 and 5. Look at them. Where does the faith, hope, and love come from? It all comes from God. In fact, all of these things can only be found in God. In times of struggle, it is possible to remain faithful because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit encompassing us, we can do these things. And only Jesus provides these things for us. It would not be possible for us to do good works in faith or labor out of love or had steadfastness of hope in him if it wasn't for what he did. If he didn't do what he did on the cross, then none of these things would even be possible. So how is it possible that the Thessalonians remained faithful amidst persecution when they were beaten up and spit on and killed for their faith, even though they were just barely planted, they were a new little seed? That's because of Jesus. How is it possible for us to remain faithful when life is kicking us in the dirt? Because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Faith, love, and hope are all good things. We know this. And all good things come from God. And without God, those things don't exist. So if you're struggling in life right now and you just feel like giving up, you just feel like you can't go on, God is there. Know that. God is there. And he's watching over you, and he's calling you to do works of your faith and labor out of love and to always, always have hope in Jesus Christ. And we can have hope in him because we know he is perfect. And because he is perfect, we should strive with every part of our being to be like him, to imitate him in what he did. Look at verses 7 and 8. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. When life gets hard, we're called to have faith, love, and hope in Jesus. And we're able to do these things because of God. But why should we do them? Because they imitate Christ. The goal of a Christian is to become more like Christ, to imitate him, to become more holy. And these things are how we imitate Christ to the fullest. It's the Christian's walk. So how do you grow in Christ? How do you become more like him? How do you glorify God? You do these things. It's like the three-step guide on how to Christian. And when we do act like Christians should, it shows the world who Christ is. And people around you will notice. They will notice a change. When these things are put into action, your faith will be shown in every single place you go. And people will know that you are a follower of Christ. If you get to know me, you're going to learn really quickly that I'm a big fan of college football. And so my favorite team is Texas A&M, because my sister goes there. I always wear stuff with a logo on it. I have socks with a logo on it. The lanyard to my keys is A&M. I've got a little case on my headphones that's A&M. The background of my phone was A&M until Amanda, but I have a lot of trinkets and things that show what I like. A lot of people have stuff like this. You may have a hobby or a passion that is displayed to people that you just really want to show off. Whenever somebody thinks of you, that's what they think of you. Well, imagine for a second if that's how much our faith shows. Imagine if our faith was so apparent that a person could look at us and instantly know that person's a follower of Christ. Isn't that how it should be? No matter what's going on in our lives, even if somebody hears that we're going through something hard, that we may be struggling, but they can still look at us and see immediately that Christ is the forefront. No matter the day, the month, the year, the weather outside, your family situation, our relationships, no matter what thing is going on, it does not change the fact that first and foremost we are Christians and that we are followers of Christ. We've put our faith in him and what he has done. And our faith is followed by true repentance. Believing in Christ is followed by deep and true repentance. It's not an option. There's no way around that. James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and there was a result of the works. Faith was perfected. Even the demons believe. But true faith is followed by repentance and shown by works. We see that works is not our ticket to salvation, but it is a result of it. And if your works don't show, then neither does your faith. Without the result, how can there be a cause? If I was to take this pin and drop it, it would hit the ground, right? Yeah. Cause, I dropped the pin. Result, it hit the ground. There's no way that I could take this pin and drop it and it just float here. It's going to hit the ground. So in the same way, there is no way to have faith without works and repentance. It's not possible. Verses 9 and 10. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Turn from the distractions of life. I know it's hard. I know that life can be rough, but our God is bigger, and we are called to serve him. We are commanded by the Creator of the universe to follow him and glorify his name. So I ask you, what is more important, the pain that you feel now or the everlasting joy of being with Christ in heaven for eternity? Eternity is a long time. It's never ending. Our time on earth, it's short. It will end. It doesn't last long. And especially when compared to eternity, it's minute. Our time on earth is like a single grain of sand on an entire beach. Life can be hard sometimes. You know that. I know that. But is that what our focus should be on? Should it be about our small times of pain? Or should it be about the everlasting joy of Christ that we have? Now, I'm not saying that the little grain of sand on the entire beach is worthless, because it's not by any means. It's still a part of that beach. Our lives determine our eternity. The decisions that we make here on this earth affect how we will spend forever. We will either spend all of eternity with God in the highest of high, or we will spend it away from him. So if we do have a very small amount of time here, but what we do determines our forever, then does the life you're living now reflect where you're going to end up? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, God. I want to thank you for your word. Ultimately, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the work that was done on the cross. Father, I pray that this message affects every single one of our lives, God, that it may be put into practice every single day, God, that we have the works of faith, God, that our belief in you is so powerful that we are so happy to go out and do good works in your name, God, that we are willing to labor out of love for everyone around us, God, to show the love of Christ. Father, and I pray that we never, ever lose our hope in Jesus and that he is coming back and that that is the forefront of every action that we do. God, every thought, every saying, everything we do, that is the forefront, is our hope in Christ. God, I pray that repentance is followed by our faith, God. That it's not possible to have faith without repentance, and that repentance is followed by good works, God. I thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for these wonderful people willing to listen. It's in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.